Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Simple Talk. Today, I'm here with my buddy Galen, and he runs the podcast, A Clean Bill of Wealth, and he has lots of great information for everyone. So let's get started. So Galen, why did you decide to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I can definitely answer that question. But first, I want to thank you for having me on Simple Talk. This is awesome. Why did I become an entrepreneur? I didn't really know I was becoming an entrepreneur when I became one. I will say that I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. When I was a kid, I used to buy candy in bulk and then go and sell it at school. And I would come home with like wads of $1 bills. And my mom would be like, where'd you get all that money? It's like, I'm selling candy at school, which was also against the rules. But I made a lot of money doing stuff like that. I think that the real crux of the entrepreneur is creativity. And so I think it's, you know, entrepreneur, a lot of people, I think they need to be like an Elon Musk, like creating something from scratch. Whereas I think a lot of entrepreneurs are adding a creative twist to something that already exists. So when I became a financial planner, 8 years ago, I thought I was kind of like, oh, I'm going to be like an employee, or like, I'm just going to have to like do what they tell me to do. But in fact, since it is at its core a service model, I can add a lot of creativity to it. So that's what I've done over the years, is really studied a lot about marketing, studied a lot about value proposition, about consumer experience, and added my own twist to it. So I've created a Facebook group for people. I have client events every quarter on productivity. I have a website that gives away free trainings on finance. I have a YouTube channel. Like, these are all the things that I've brought to the table as a financial planner that not everyone's doing. So that's how I've embrace my entrepreneurial spirit as a financial planner.
Awesome. I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs, they're like lifelong learners, and they want to learn everything, and that's what gets them going. If everybody doesn't know already, Galen has a YouTube channel called Canadian Whiteboard Finance, if you want to check him out there. Mm-hmm. So that was a little bit about your journey. Do you have anything else you'd like to add? Because I know you've done a few other things.
Yeah. So, I mean, the first foray into this sort of thing was I moved to South America when I was like 21, and I started a grassroots development project with a framework, but really a lot of implementation that relied on creativity and new ways of doing it. And really, at the end of the day, what I've learned is like everything I do. So I did that for a number of years. Then I became a teacher. Then when we moved to Canada, my financial advisor was like, Galen, I think you'd make a good one. And I was like, heck no. Like, I don't want to do that at all. I'm a teacher. Like, I have a master's in education. I'm not going to go off and go into sales. I'm not going to be the guy at the party that no one wants to talk to because he's trying to sell them life insurance or investments. And they were like, well, it doesn't have to be that way. You can kind of do it your own way. And really what I've done and I'm continually doing is just looking at, what am I really good at? Like, what's my superpower? What's my skill set? And everyone has a superpower. I'm a big believer in everyone discovering what their superpower is and running with it. And most of the super successful people out there in the world, it's because they figured out what their superpower was and they ran with it. And even if it's a superpower that does not appear to be immediately profitable or a way to like turn that into money, it can work. And so, just as an example, I'm very good at explaining things simply. So with finances, when I became a financial advisor, each one of our little boardrooms had a whiteboard in it, and no one was using these whiteboards. And so I was like, well, I guess I shouldn't use them. No one's using them. And then I was like, I'm going to start using these whiteboards. And I use the whiteboard, and I do it online now. And then if I wasn't using the whiteboard, I was just drawing it all on paper. So I'd sit in front of professionals like physicians, business owners, lawyers, accountants, and I would do drawings. And a lot of my colleagues were like, that's kind of crazy. Like, you're drawing for these very smart, sophisticated people. And I'm like, it works. And so like, and a lot of times people would say, can I keep the drawing? And it kind of hit me like, oh, people are really learning this way. People are really understanding finance in a whole new way. So that superpower of like making complex ideas simple through drawing is now my brand of Canadian Whiteboard Finance.
That's a good story. I enjoy the whiteboards.
They're good. My whiteboard fell the other day. I used to have one behind my head and it fell, and it's busted over there on the side. I never use that one anyway. I always use online whiteboards. So I'm like, maybe I should put a painting up or something.
I have a really large pad of paper, you know, like the kindergarten teachers use, and I have that set up and I just write all stuff off there.
That's awesome.
Okay. So one piece of advice you wish you had before you started.
one piece of advice I wish I had before I started would be to keep trying and to keep brainstorming with others. I think a lot of times I get stuck in my own head and I like get stuck on an idea, or I think I've got a really good idea, and it's not until I actually take it out and like work on it with other people that it starts to take shape. And the other thing is just fail really fast. Oh man, I spent so much time talking about starting a YouTube channel. Even back in 2013, I was like, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. I'm going to do whiteboards, da da da. And I got really hung up on, oh, what's the best microphone? What's the best camera? What's the best drawing pad? And I thought drawing pads cost like thousands of dollars, so I didn't bother. And now I've got a microphone I got on Amazon. It wasn't that expensive. I've got a drawing pad. For anyone who's listening, you won't see this, but I got a drawing pad on Amazon for like $50. It was like a $55 drawing pad. And I started my YouTube channel, and I've seen people who ran with the same idea, not so much in Canada, but in the States, who ran with the same idea I had at the same time. And they have like hundreds of thousands of subscribers because they just went and did it, and they didn't wait until they had everything perfect. So that would be the big thing, would be like just take imperfect action, like, but viciously, like take action and take it imperfectly.
Awesome. I'm an action taker. That's what
Absolutely.
got me going.
Yeah.
Okay, so any tips or pointers for other entrepreneurs, either finance or productivity? Because I know you have your journal for productivity as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So like one of my creative side businesses a few years ago, like I have a whole system I use every day, because as an entrepreneur, it's not like I have a boss that says, hey, tomorrow you have to do these things, and if I don't do them, I get fired. It's more of, I have to figure out what I'm going to do to build my business. Like I don't have like, as a financial planner, I don't necessarily, even though the value I provide to people is phenomenal, it's not a thing that people are necessarily like running around looking for. Like most people don't get a financial planner unless one actually contacts them or a friend, refers them to one. So I had to figure out what did I need to do every day to make my business work. And really, so I create a whole journal around it. It's called the Squirrel Journal. It's like my love letter to the squirrel-brained entrepreneur that has trouble focusing long enough to see something to completion. So what I do, I mean, the big tips are, I chunk my year into 90-day sprints where I try to get something big done in 90 days. So right now I'm in a business building phase. So I'm making regular phone calls, I'm holding seminars and webinars. Like that's what I'm doing. But each day I look at, what are the four big things I need to get done today to move me towards my goal? And I time them. I have a timer next to my desk here that's always set at 45. There it is for anyone who's watching. 45 minutes. I work in 45-minute bursts of time energy. And I watch that countdown like going, and it kind of gamifies the experience, gets me going. Because if all I see is 4 hours of blank time that I need to do stuff, I'm going to fill it up with junk. But if I'm like, I've got 45 minutes to, I don't know, like answer all my emails or make all my phone calls or like, schedule all my webinars, I'm going to get it done in 45 minutes.
Yeah, I find it's like so much easier if you know exactly what you have to do. I have like a daily and a weekly, and I write down everything that needs to be done that day and everything that needs to be done for the rest of the week. So I'm not like sitting at my desk like, oh, what was it I had to do today? And you're just, oh, let's go on
Yeah,
Facebook.
no, absolutely. Like you hit it there, Jenny. Like figuring it out ahead of time is the big one. Because when you wake up in the morning, it's like it's too late. Like in my opinion, if I wake up in the morning and I don't know what I need to do, if it's not in my calendar, I'm just gonna mess around. But if I go to like, so before I go to bed at night, I look at the following day and I say, what are the four big things I need to get done? Where are they in my calendar? And then I treat myself like when I've done them, like I either like go for a hike or like I do something to kind of like reward myself for having done them to like to make it fun.
Buy yourself something nice on Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. A nice microphone, nice new microphone. Yeah, something
New little
nice.
love friend for your desk.
Oh yeah, a new little friend for my desk. I've already got a good one. For anyone who can't see, it's my penguin, my desk penguin. It's my stress ball desk penguin. He's always by the side of my desk.
Awesome. So anything else you wanted to add before we take off?
No, like, I mean, I think entrepreneurs are a very special breed of humans. I think that, like, I mean, you think about all the major businesses and innovations in the world. I mean, businesses for sure, we're all started by entrepreneurs. Like, everything we're using, like, this computer I'm using, the software we're using right now, whatever you're going to use to edit this after, it was all started because someone had an idea of a way that they could do something new or do something better. And so, like, I have a lot of love for entrepreneurs because they're highly creative, highly ambitious people. And yeah, just keep on rocking.
My favorite kind of people.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for joining me today, Dylan.
Yeah, sure thing. Thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. For more tips, check out our blog at simpledesk.ca and subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any of the action.